Hello and welcome to another edition of Design Buzz, the blog for those interested in today's nightclub and bar design trends, product reviews and interviews. Here's our host, international nightclub designer, Rick Usabel.
As we were talking a little bit earlier, I have with me here John Baumeister from Easy Ice. He's the Chief Marketing Officer, and Easy Ice is kind of an interesting, unique story. As I understand it, John, your company is you lease ice machines throughout the United States. Is that it? How does that work?
That's correct. So we prefer to call it a subscription, but most people, we think of it like a magazine subscription or a newspaper subscription. It's something you count on. It's something you got to have all the time. And so that's what we provide with an ice machine solution. But many people call it a lease. Some people call it a rent. All very similar concepts.
Well, I guess you know that sort of brings to mind. At least I'm not sure how that works. But when you say subscription, it almost sort of evokes the idea that perhaps there's a like from the service perspective. You might have very well have a hot backup for somebody who has an ice machine that may be that may go down in an untimely fashion. Is that how it works?
Exactly. You know, it's a great question because we work with companies in different environments slightly differently. Our typical hot backup, as you call it, will be packaged ice, right? So that's the great thing about ice, you know, which is different than obviously a freezer. Or a walk-in or a reach-in, right? If that device breaks down, it's very difficult. I can't bring you cold air, right?
And with ice, right.
Right? But with an ice machine, I can bring you ice.
Yeah. Right?
So what's really, again, what I think our customers really enjoy about the solution is at some level we say, look, don't worry about the machine itself, right? What you're subscribing to or what you're contracting with us for is a guaranteed supply of ice. I happen to provide it with an ice machine there.
I like that.
It's my job to keep it running. So if something goes wrong with it, you know, that's my job. I'm still the guy on the hook to solve that problem.
Right. Yeah. Of course, you have to have a strong service network in order to provide that as a service that's always there for the consumer. And it gets kind of complicated because. Would that then include all the various shapes of ice that typically you would service on these machines, or how does that work?
In terms of the machines we provide, we focus our relationship with Hoshizaki. Mm-hmm. We've been with them for 5 years as a sole source, a provider for our company, and mm-hmm. we did that for a number of reasons, mostly technical. Because we believe in the machines and we believe the product, the actual ice they produce is, I'm not sure better is the right word, but we believe it is more useful to our customers. And so we've been with Hoshizaki for 5 years, and we provide a square cube machine, a crescent cube machine, flaked ice, or cubelet ice. Those are all the ice shapes they produce. At a commercial size, there is one other shape they produce. They call it a top hat, but that is typically in a machine that would go more in an executive office, maybe a 30, 40, 50-pound machine. So it's not one that we provide on this type of arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it comes to the backup ice, so if the machine, again, is broken, we'll deliver packaged ice, which is typically a bit more of more like a cube. Not a square cube. It's not a flaked ice. It's just cubed.
Okay. Well, I would say if there was one shape of ice that bars and nightclubs would use predominantly, I would imagine that's the square ice cube. Would you not agree?
You know, it's interesting. That has been the trend. Is that people are moving more towards the square ice cube, and that is predominantly for either low ball or high ball, right? So those types of drinks. So we still see a lot of our customers, in fact, our bar customers still go with the crescent cube, which is the standard cube. because it's a little, you know, it works really well when you're, say, if you're pouring a martini that's in a shaker. Square cubes aren't really the best shape for a shaker. The crescent cubes are a bit better for the shaker. However, if you're having a glass of scotch, you want the beautiful and a more emotional experience of drinking that with a square ice cube. So that's
sure.
what we see, right?
Am I correct in I thought I heard this somewhere that perhaps the crescent works very well with citrus per se, or is that just I'm not sure if that's a relevant point or not, but I know I see the I see that you know, you go into places where say bars and nightclubs, which is the sector I'm in, obviously it's predominantly cube, but occasionally you do see on some of the more tropical drinks or whatever, I guess you'll see that other sort of smaller shape, right?
Right. People call it, it's called nugget ice, it's called chewable ice, it's called cubelet ice. It's the stuff you find on on the maternity wards of the hospitals, right? So
yeah,
people can chew that ice, right? It's the same type of machine. I think people call it Sonic ice.
Uh-huh.
Right? You can get it from Sonic. So that's right. We see those in places that make more of the frozen drinks, so your frozen daiquiris, margaritas.
There you go.
And they use, we'll often see them use that because a cubelet, again, which is different than a flaker, so important to distinguish the two.
Yeah.
A cubelet is it's much softer on the blade, on the blender blade, and so you'll get more longevity out of your equipment if you go with a cubelet.
Okay. More so than the flake, are you saying?
Well, no. The flake. So the flake is it's interesting. Cubers and flakers are very similar in the way they produce the ice itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the finisher. It's the finish that's different. You actually, in a cubelet machine, they'll take the flaked ice that has just been produced and they'll put it through an extruder, which increases the pressure, squeezing out all of the extra water that was in that flaked ice. And so when it comes out as a cubelet, it's much harder, whereas the flaked ice still has all that water in it, makes it a much softer surface, and that's why you see that in sushi bars and in fresh fish locations, so you don't want to bruise, right, the fish. So that's why you'll see flaked ice in those locations, cubelet ice in bars and restaurants more.
Yes, and that's what I've always heard and experienced with the Hoshizaki, what the machine is really most noted for among people in the industry that I know, is that the hardness of the ice is what actually is what makes it, part of what makes it superior.
Correct.
That it doesn't,
that is correct.
It doesn't, it tends to not melt right away. And I
correct.
Can see that's why if you extrude that back into a harder shape and reduce that water content, then that's probably what the desired result is, I suppose, from the bartender standpoint.
Right, and that's why early in the conversation I said, you know, better is a little bit, everyone is in the eye of the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So I'm not sure we call it better, but I will say it's colder, it's harder, it lasts longer.
Yeah.
There's some interesting things about the cuber, right? So that's the crescent shaped cube, because it's got a rounded edge to it.
Yeah.
It also contours to a glass, right? Which is round in nature. And so you can actually get more ice in a glass when you have a cubelet than when you're trying to fit the other odd, you know, the other square shape, the more square-like shape that you got out of the Hoshi, out of the Scotsman's and the Manitowoc's and the isomatic ice machines.
Sure.
Right. So that's another reason that, you know, bar owners and restaurant owners, that means, you know, to a certain degree, you're putting less soda in, so that's a little bit better profit margin for the bar owner.
Yep.
And because the ice cubes are harder, they melt more slowly, you're going to get less customers coming back and asking, you know, for a refresher, complaining about watered-down drinks because the cube itself will last longer.
Yeah. Well, drink consistency is actually the number one quality within the industry. When people talk about what's the number one thing that you want, you know, with your customer experience, if you own a bar or a nightclub, the one thing you really have to be attentive to is consistency of drink quality, you know, the consistency of the product. And that,
right.
And that sort of ties back to this, too.
Very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in a typical, like, say, a nightclub or bar, so then would you would typically have, primarily a square cube machine or two, and then one of the other, the cubelet machine? Is that what you're
right.
saying?
Right. What we'll see, what we typically see is the anchor machine is the crescent cube shaped, right? So the cuber, right? That's the anchor machine, right? That's the one that goes in all the water glasses, the soda drinks. It's the one that goes in the shakers, right? And so that's kind of the anchor machine. Then typically what we'll see, again, depending upon the bar mix, but we'll see that the square cuber come next. Because it is, again, for the higher-end cocktail, it's a more appropriate cube. And then finally they can round it out with a cubelet, right? And obviously everything comes in different sizes and capacities. And so sometimes we'll see an under-counter model for behind the bar, and then we'll get a bigger machine in the back. So there's a lot of different, ways mm-hmm. we can configure the machines and bins, right? Because that's a whole another part of the equation is the storage bin. I used to configure those appropriately as well.
Yeah. You mean the ice bin, under bar ice bin?
Correct. Well, the I know we've got the jockey boxes and the things that tend to be behind the bars themselves, but just in terms of the bin that's the ice storage bin that sits under the ice maker. So as it drops ice out of
yep.
the machine
right.
into it, right? Usually what you'll see is the guys from the bar backs will go back and
yep.
right, they'll fill up jockey boxes and bring them out. And so it's important to get the combination of the ice machine and the bin just right.
Is it the general consensus to, and I know space and budget is oftentimes a constraint for people, but do you generally recommend having two of the larger machines, two of the square cube machines, would you say, in a typical bar operation? In case you have issues with one, or
well, no. To your point, right? It depends on the size of the location. But the Hoshizaki square cuber makes about 500 pounds, give or take, depending upon the weather. You probably count on it for about 425 pounds on a 24-hour basis, which will serve a lot of cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Remember, you're not using them in the shakers. You're not using them in water.
Yeah.
So it's really reserved for low balls and high ball drink glasses. And so we tend to see, unless you're a large location, we tend to see people go in with one square cuber. And again, this is where we get back to the business model of Easy Ice and why our customers like it so much. Is it's our job to keep that machine running. So. We like to describe it as we're the only provider in the ice machine business who's in the same boat as our customers,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if that machine breaks down, I'm losing money because I got to deliver bagged ice, and I got to tell you, it's a whole lot more expensive to get bagged ice over there than it is for that
yeah.
machine to produce.
Sure.
So every minute that machine's not working, I'm losing money, whereas I know a lot of really great service technicians, and we work with the best in the business. But the reality is, when the machine's broken, they make money, right? And so there's just a little bit of a conflict in that regard. Again, a lot of great, high quality, fantastic technicians. But look, if an ice machine never broke, these guys would never make money. And so,
sure.
The big difference here for us is, we're in perfect alignment with all of our customers, and that's how they know that we're doing everything we can to make sure that machine's running 100% of the time. And that's why people tend not to buy that, quote, backup machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that we're there to make sure it works.
They know that they can, yeah, they don't need to, in other words.
Right, and count on us,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, another part of our service offering is that we've got a 24-hour call center. We're based in Michigan, and we've got 24. You can reach someone from our company 24 hours a day. I mean, most companies at 5:05 on a Friday afternoon, which is obviously a big deal for the nightclub and bar owner business. It's tough to get a service technician at 5:05 Friday afternoon. Again, for us, we got a toll-free 24/7 number. You can always reach us, and we've got the ability to get packages delivered out there, get a technician out in a much more responsive manner.
So then, Easy Ice, how many markets does Easy Ice service?
So we operate in 43 states in North America.
Mm-hmm.
We are in all of the top 20 MSAs, metropolitan statistical areas. And so, in most places there's, most places there's more than 50,000 people, you'll find us.
Okay. All right. And then, so these are company stores that are set up regionally throughout the states, and then it's their mission then to go out and find service contracts with local people. Is that what it is?
Oh, okay. So yeah, great question. So we're trying to be what is it, a business of the future, right? So we're trying not to be too much brick and mortar. So you won't find an EZA store anywhere. We tend to operate a little bit more virtually. We have a couple of very large strategic partnerships with a company by the name of Ecolab, which is very well known in the food service industry, right, and in the bar business.
Yep.
And then Ready Ice, which is the largest packaged ice company in North America. Between those two partners, we provide service again across the nation.
Okay.
We have other specialized service partners in other markets as well.
Okay. So Easy Ice is not a brick and mortar establishment so much. It's a headquarters.
Correct.
And it has
correct.
Service agreements with people who are in the business of providing ice.
Correct. And so, we obviously, some of our service partners already have a local presence. And so there's, obviously no need for us to build out that kind of capacity. So in keeping our overhead down, it allows us to offer a much more affordable price point for our customers. And that's one of the things that we're most proud of. If you go online, we publish our prices very transparently. We don't, a lot of guys, you call them up, they don't publish their prices, and gosh, if you're getting an old machine, he might cut you a deal because, he's got a machine that he's had for 15 years and it's already paid for, so he'll cut you a better deal on it, but you never know what you're getting. With us, it's all the same, right? It's same price point, and our job is to guarantee that machine works.
Yep. So really, in terms of competition, I guess you could say there kind of isn't anybody else who shares this business model. Is that what you're saying?
It's tough to compete with us. That is true. There are guys in there are people in markets. There are companies in certain markets that provide a I'm going to call it a similar service. We have yet to find anyone who's got a 24/7 call center. The majority of, I won't say anyone, but I think the majority of the people that that have a similar service do not deliver food quality, FDA certified packaged ice. So what they'll do is they've got an extra ice maker or two back at their warehouse, and they will fill up bags of ice and bring them to your location as the backup ice if the machine is broken. But ours has been, the ice we deliver has been manufactured in an FDA inspected and approved packaged ice facility. So that makes for our customers, makes a big difference to know that the ice is coming from a place that is safe, secure, and sanitary, and know it's been handled according to the way the FDA requires.
Certainly, yeah.
So there's a couple of those features that certainly we believe in, and our customers believe, really set us head and shoulders above some of the other companies that do provide a similar service.
Well, in terms of other ice machines that are out there on the market that are sort of in competition with the Hoshizaki name, Was it that you selected Hoshizaki because you felt that the quality of the machine itself and the product that it produces is superior to that of, say, Manitowoc or Scotsman, or how does that stack up?
That's correct. That's our primary decision criteria was an engineering decision. You know, there are some really interesting dynamics in the distribution network, but the primary reason was for the engineering. Mm-hmm. What we like about the Hoshizaki Ice Cube is that it's formed on a, what they call a vertical evaporator, which is stainless steel, so it's a lot more rugged, a lot more reliable, a lot more dependable than some of the other equipment. And again, because of the nature of its design, again, produces an ice cube that has fewer impurities.
Yes.
And because there are fewer impurities, that's why it freezes harder.
Yep.
And then back to the story, it lasts longer, cools better. Right. So all of that works together. And that's ultimately why we selected Hoshizaki as our partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've read that myself in the past. Yes, and I think in my mind it is a superior product.
My background's I'm an electrical engineering undergraduate, and I have spent a lot of time sticking my head inside ice machines. I worked for General Motors in the auto business for about 10 years. Mm. And so I have a real strong appreciation for well-engineered products.
Sure.
And Hoshizaki, again, is a really strong player in that field.
Yep. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Us engineers have to stick together, huh? That's what I
we
read
do.
About it
we
myself.
Do.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to me when I was reading about the technology of the machine. Yeah, my background's ME undergrad.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's gadgets, you know, and the better mousetrap thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know, is there something else that you'd like our listeners to know about your company? John, I think we've covered pretty much everything we had sort of laid out here.
I think we've covered out most of the important things about the business. I know you had questions, or I know one of the questions I often get from customers is, and I will say that this might be the one I get most often, and that is, like, what size ice machine do I need?
Oh, there
right?
you go.
Because that's an often, guys who've been in the bar business, you know, they tend to know. Because they've had one before, but if you're just starting up, or maybe you've expanded, it's difficult to understand, right? How much you need, and there's a variety of ways of going about it, right? There's a kind of a rule of thumb used that says 3 pounds a person, and I'll give you if you want to start at the highest level, that's a rough number that somebody will often start with.
Okay.
I break it down because a lot of, you know, there's a lot of bars out here that have very, very different clientele, and so the product offering they have is very different. So we were over at we'll go into locations and they'll have 8 to 10 different glass sizes and styles that they use.
Oh yeah.
Each one holds a different amount of ice, and so it depends on how they choose to serve it. But here's the rundown we tend to go with if a customer is capable of breaking it down by drink. So we tend to see about 1/4 pound of ice in a water glass, right? We'll see about 1/4 pound in a rocks glass, about 1/3 pound in a soda, right, or in a pop, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see about 1/2 pound in a highball glass. You fit about 3/4 pound in a shaker.
Three-quarters.
And then if you're doing a frozen drink, you're doing about 1/2 pound of the crushed ice.
Huh.
So, you know, we kind of start, if we can start with that menu, it often, you know, gives our customers some insight as to, you know, again, what they think they're going to be selling, and that kind of helps them do the math. At that point, then, generally speaking, we'll see people multiply that by about 25% just to accommodate either mistakes, mix-ups,
mm-hmm.
or just other uses for ice, right? Somebody might, you know, somebody might need to cool down a bucket of beer, right? And there goes 5 to 7 pounds, up to 20 pounds depending on the size of the cooler you're trying to cool down. So, you know, there's a lot of uses for it. You know, this happens a lot with restaurants too, right? Because they'll spend a lot of time thinking about how they handle water and soda and those kinds of things, but then forget that the chef's going to use, maybe 100 pounds a day to do flash chilling, right?
Oh yeah.
He needs to put something in a nice bath. So you know, all those things come into play when you size things.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And how much did you say you use in ice buckets?
Oh, well, you know, again, those are so varied in terms of the size.
Sure. We'll handle any amount.
Yeah, it could be anything, right? You go down to some of the roadhouses in Texas, and I think some of those buckets will stretch farther than I can see. So.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah, that's a load of wide open question there. Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, certainly I think, and as I understand it, there is a calculator on the Hoshizaki America website.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken.
Correct. There is. So people can go there and they can plug in some numbers and get a lot more comfortable with what they need. And here's one additional feature of our service offering that is quite nice is that this speaks to not having to own the ice machine. We have an upgrade service. So, look, if you estimated that you needed 500 pounds and maybe that worked for a year or so, but then things get going really well and you need to upsize, then you can send back the machine you have. We can replace it with a larger one, and you're not stuck, right, with a machine that is undersized. So it's, you know, just yet another feature that ice machine ownership, it doesn't allow you that kind of flexibility.
Yeah,
And most people, again, you know, people don't come in for the ice, right? They'll come in for the beer. They'll come in for the drinks. They'll come in for the bar food. They'll come in for the music. They'll come in for lots of things. People don't come in for the ice, right? But you got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so our main message, and this is interesting, you'll hear this from Robert Irvine, who is our spokesperson. So we caught up with Robert on we actually did a Restaurant Impossible episode for him. He walked into a restaurant. The ice machine was dead on arrival, so he called. They called our team, and we brought in an ice machine. And once he heard about our service offering, he actually called me back about 2 months later, and said, "You know what? I'm going into all these restaurants, and all of them have ice machine problems, and not a one of these people should be owning an ice machine." Because he doesn't own them himself, and he was surprised the amount of time, energy, and effort that people spend on either taking care of their ice machine or dealing with an unreliable ice machine. If there's one thing I've learned from Robert, and there are many things, his message is: look, focus on the things that make a difference to your customers. You know, we talk about, look, you can change the napkins in your bar, you can change the lighting, you can change the toilet paper, you can change the soap. I mean, all of those things actually matter to your customer. When it comes to ice, what matters about it is that it's there. So,
mm-hmm.
So it makes no sense for you to go spend $5,000 to go buy an ice machine. Only to have to deal with all the kind of hassles of cleaning it, putting filtration on it, fixing it when it's down, going out and getting ice when it's broken.
Yep.
And so it really is, you know, his message continues to be, look folks, running a restaurant, running a bar, being in the food service industry is a very, very difficult business. What you need to do is look around and start thinking about what are the things that you could take off your plate so that you can focus on things that are important. Go ahead.
Well, that's a good point you bring up, because actually, ironically, it's also what they don't do. You know, it isn't so much what they're doing, you know, to maintain the equipment, But I think in most instances, and in most bars and nightclubs I've been in, the problem is that they don't take care of it well enough, you know?
Right.
So it's not what they're doing, it's what they're not doing. And then, of course, it breaks down, and then you're always on a Saturday night, it breaks down, right?
Right.
It breaks down on a Monday.
Yeah, Mike's machines are, no. I can give you the stats, and it's like 80% of them break down after hours and on weekends. It's just how it goes, right?
Yeah, right.
That's how everybody's memory works.
Yep.
And you're right. I mean, Mike's machines are victim of the classic out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Saying, right? I mean, we'll go into ice machines that we don't own, right? That the customers own. It's finally broken. They say, I think I got to get rid of it. We'll open it up and we will find slime and mold and mildew and all kinds of stuff on the inside of that machine simply because, you don't see it. You think, hey, it's water, right? I mean, it's frozen water. And people think, they kind of think of it like an oven. It's like, oh,
you don't think of it as food.
If I cook something to 300 degrees, I'm sure all the bacteria is gone, so it's not a problem. And people think about, oh, if it's ice, it's ice. How could there possibly be anything in there that's not healthy, right?
Yeah.
Because if it was bacteria, it would be frozen. It would die, and that's not the case, right?
Yeah.
And that's where we spend time with hospitals, and that's kind of a place where we've become incredibly sensitive to the health and safety conditions of our customers, simply because we're aware of just how important that is in a healthcare setting. And the good news is that our customers in the restaurant business, in the hotel, in the nightclub business, they all benefit from our learnings in some of these more sensitive areas.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the way we clean, how we clean, how often we clean, and some of the other products we're able to use to kind of mitigate health and safety issues between cleanings. All really important for food product.
Say, John, before we sign off, I want to ask you, is there something that we can leave us for people who are reading the post here about how they can become involved in your program, in the Easy Ice program?
Sure. We're online. Like everybody else in this age, probably the best way to find us is just go to www.easyice.com.
Okay.
Take a look around. We've got a lot of information there. We're putting resources out there for people who own ice machines. If they want to know how to clean an ice machine better, you can go to our site. You learn a little bit more about that. We're posting articles about filtration. And
sure.
So, our hope is that everybody starts to take better care of their ice machines. We'd certainly love to be the people doing it for you. But even if not, feel free to come to our site, take a look around, learn a little bit more about ice machines. And once you understand just how difficult it is, we're confident you're going to call us the next time your ice machine breaks down.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I guess that pretty much takes care of things. I want to thank you again for stopping by today and discussing a really cool service you offer through Easy Ice. And this is something that more bars and nightclubs need to be aware of, and take the responsibilities of trying to be an owner and put your efforts in a better direction, right?
Indeed. And appreciate the invitation. Enjoy the conversation.
Yeah.
And as we like to say in the business, stay cool.
Okay.
Stay cool.
It's a pleasure meeting you, John. And
all right,
thanks again. And that takes care of this. This edition of Design Buzz. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Rick, thank you again for joining us for this edition of Design Buzz. We all look forward to seeing you again real soon.